Hey everyone, John Wertheim here. This is this week's Sports Illustrated Tennis Podcast. Let us start by pausing for a second of silence to acknowledge that this ought to be the second week of Wimbledon, one of the great pinnacles of the tennis calendar. We'll have to wait till next year. But meanwhile, we have a good podcast this week. Our guest is Carlos Silva. Carlos is the CEO of World Team Tennis, which, as perhaps you know, will have a 2020 season. A little bit different, but there will be a series of 63 matches from July 12th to August 1st at the Greenbrier, the resort in West Virginia, where all the players and all the teams will effectively be bubbled. This is tennis's version of what we're seeing in the NBA, and this is a prelude of sorts to the 2020 U.S. Open. But World Team Tennis persists. Carlos talks about where, how, and when you can see the matches, but they will be televised on a variety of networks and platforms. And World Team Tennis, a stalwart in the sport since the early 70s, will persist. So we talk with Carlos about World Team Tennis, about staging an event amid Corona, where his league fits into this crazy mosaic we call tennis, and his experience with the sport as well as a former player. So a good conversation with a guy I've known for a while. Here's Carlos Silva.
How we doing? How are you?
I'm good. Things are good.
Where are you? Where are we getting you?
I live in Potomac outside of D.C. in Maryland.
Oh, okay. So you are not far from the Greenbrier, as these things go.
Yeah, no, I've been a few times over the last few weeks. So yeah, it's like 3.5 hours from Dallas.
All right. So you can drive that. So yeah, I mean let's start there. I feel like it's like talking about TV. This is like Succession or Ozark. But tell us about season 45. What are we expecting here?
So as you know, we have 9 teams in season 45. We had a new expansion team in Chicago. They're unfortunately not going to get to play in Chicago. Sloane Stephens is anchoring that team along with her coach Kamau Murray, and so we're bringing everybody. We looked at a lot of different states, John. You know, Texas, Florida, Nevada, California, but West Virginia felt good. It still feels good in the grand scheme of things, just based on everything that's happening. So we're bringing all 9 teams to the Greenbrier, but we're going to play a complete season. And so the season will still be 14 regular season, 7 home and 7 away, if you will, which will really only consist of, whatever jersey they're wearing that day, home or away, on one court right in a great little stadium that the Greenbrier's got.
I was going to say, I commend you on not picking Florida, California, Texas or Arizona. You picked well. I think other sports are going to be looking at this as a real sort of, canary in the coal mine, to use a West Virginia. I think whether it's the U.S. Open or whether it's Orlando and this NBA bubble, do you feel pressure to sort of do this right for World Team Tennis? But also, I suspect a lot of other sports outlets are going to be looking at this.
Yes, we do feel pressure. I mean, I think you're right. I don't think it's just tennis. I think it's sport. You know, all of us. I mean, the one thing, and you may have found it too, John, I found that over the last 3 months, everyone's been very collegial in whether we were on White House calls or whether we were all together. I mean, I talked to Jay Monahan, about a month ago before their season started, because they were going to go to Texas, and he gave me some great feedback on what they were doing with testing. And so, yeah, we do. We're trying to be very diligent, and we're also trying every day to make sure that what we're doing, we're still analyzing it every day. You know, as I've told my team and we've told the players, until August 2nd, when someone raises the King Trophy, we got to be diligent every day. So we've even made a few adjustments. As you know, we're going to have up to 500 fans in the stadium.
Right.
It holds 2,500. And originally, those fans were only required to have a temperature check, but about 5 days ago, before everything got a little bit, a little crazy over the last 5 days, we decided that we would add masks in for the fans as well. And so all the fans will also have masks in the stadium. And, the way we thought about that is you can always take the masks down if things feel better, but better to be a little safer. So, there's definitely a little pressure, but I think we're up for it, and I think we're going to show everyone how we can be safe and be operationally smart every day.
And so 500 fans as of today is the number you're working with?
It is, yeah. And what we've got, I don't know if you've ever been to that stadium, but it's a great little horseshoe stadium around the court with a lower bowl and an upper bowl. And so the low, you'll either buy a lower bowl general admission ticket or an upper bowl general admission ticket. And then every other row is blocked. And then the ushers will social distance when you come into the stadium. So if you came, John, with your family, you'd be able to sit with your family. But if I came with my family, we'd sit together, but I wouldn't be able to sit next to your family. We'd be 6 feet away. And gotcha. So that works. And then we'd all have masks in the stands.
And I've seen the roster of players and Kennen and the Bryan brothers and Sam Querrey. And I don't know, is Venus still on the list?
Venus is in. Yeah. Venus is going to play for the Castles. And then Raonic is going to play for Orange County. Taylor Fritz is in now for Philadelphia Freedoms. And so, the list is deep. It's a great lineup. And the great thing too, is everyone's playing the full season. There's none of these sort of, I'll drop in for two or three matches to help the team out and then disappear, which I love.
And are the players allowed to leave the facility? What are the restrictions on the players?
No, the players. All the players are being tested now, as well as the staff, before they leave to come. Then when they get to the Greenbrier, they'll go to the Performance Center. They'll be tested again before they sort of enter the facility. And then all the players will be staying in the hotel on property. They'll stay on property. And then on a daily basis, they'll also have their temperatures checked to enter the stadium. And then we're going to also do a mid-season test as well.
But if I say, we've got a day off here and I want to go hang out and visit family in Philadelphia, am I allowed to leave?
No, no, no. Yeah, no, that would be extreme case. No, everyone's in for the season. And by the way, I think they only have one day off in the season because it's like 14 matches in 16 days. And so, no, they won't be going to visit their family in Philadelphia. Definitely not.
This is essentially, it sounds like a dress rehearsal for the U.S. Open in a lot of respects. For the players as well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so for everybody. And the really nice thing about Greenbrier, too, is they have a medical clinic on site. They've been very helpful. So we have docs and we have facilities right there, too. And I think that's a really great feature that they bring us.
We have seen some players that have not been the height of responsible in tennis recently. Is there any sort of, have you had to go down the discipline road and sort of make some warnings and lay out some policy with that?
No, not yet. We haven't. We even had a few players that we had to put on the Homeland Security to enter the country list. Right. Like Neil Skopsky, just to use one example, because he was over in London. And they all came to the U.S. and they quarantined for 14 days, and then they'll head to Greenbrier. But so far, everyone really wants to play. I think everyone's playing by the rules and wants to make sure that we all are safe because we're all coming together for the first time. So far, so good.
Leaving the biosphere, the biosphere context notwithstanding, I mean, where do you see World Team Tennis fitting into this? To this tennis biosphere, to the tennis landscape, where does WTT fit in?
Well, I mean, we wanted it to fit in more than it has. I mean, it's been sort of slotted in, as you know, between sort of Wimbledon and the US Open Series. It's a very slim sliver. I don't like only having a 3 week long season. As a result of that, we launched the All-Star event in March, which went great, with the Bryant brothers and Sam and Sharapova. And that's a way that we could extend the season. In the grand scheme of things, I'd love for us to fit into the bigger picture with the ATP and the WTA as a team event. And so we've done a good job of sort of playing by the ATP and WTA guidelines. And, I'm a big sports guy and federation guy and understand that world, as you know. And we'll continue to do that. But, certainly for this year, I think we're trying to be leaders and show them that we are leaders and we should be part of the tennis fabric because I think we've proven it.
I was going to say, I wonder if you're thinking about this summer with probably a lot of eyes on your season as a way to take up some more real estate within tennis. I mean, it seems like a lot of people are going to be hearing about and watching World Team Tennis in a few days. And I wonder if this could be a springboard to a bigger role within the sport.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, by the way, John, before all this hit last year, we were trying to move the tournament that was in Sao Paulo to San Diego and make it part of that All-Star weekend. And so we were already looking at doing like a San Diego 250. We had gone before the ATP board to pitch that. They at that time didn't want us to change the surface from clay court to hard court, which I think was a big mistake, but they had their reasons. So yeah, we're already thinking about how World Team Tennis is really a portfolio that in the summer, we've got the season, in the spring, we've got the All-Star match, but you know, spread across it, there's opportunities to have other tournaments for all the players that we would be part of and we would run. So I think we'll continue to look at that. I mean, yeah, there's even some opportunities now with Challenger, and, you know, with Oracle not in the Challenger series that, you know, we also think that that's a great opportunity for, you know, WTT to continue to support tennis. You know, Fred Luddy's and Eric Davidson are both massive supporters of tennis, and they continue to support us. They want to continue to grow it.
I wonder, I mean, is this scalable beyond the U.S.? I mean, it strikes me that World Team Tennis is U.S.-based and tennis's nerve center is, at least right now, not in this country. Is this something that, I mean, is there any reason why there couldn't be a World Team Tennis in Europe and Australia and in the Far East?
Well, you know, it's on my list. You know, as I put together my three to five year plan when I joined, I didn't like that we were World Team Tennis, but we weren't very world. And so, so I think, you know, the problem with the logistics is John, if you have teams in Europe, you really have to create like a Europe group. And so I've got a plan that we could put four teams in Europe and those four teams would play their regular season because you wouldn't be able to fly back and forth during those 2 weeks. But if they played their regular season in Europe, then one team of those four could then come over and make the playoffs in the semis. And if we did those in Vegas or, you know, wherever we did it, they would get one of those slots. And I think, I had thought about that for 21, maybe 21, you know, now we've sort of lost a little bit of a year with some of our planning, but certainly as I think of 21 and 22 and we continue expansion, having those four teams in Europe, I think could easily be done.
I feel like ever since I've covered tennis, the scouting report on World Team Tennis have been very consistent, which is we all love the equality. We all love Billie Jean King. It's fun to attend in person. The players are smiling. I mean, it seems like a lot of the virtues of the sport are really encapsulated. The balance sheets are a bit of a confounding mystery and nobody's quite sure where it fits into the calendar. I mean, what is the, I don't know how to phrase this. I mean, what's kind of the one factor you think is most critical to the success of the league?
Well, yeah, by the way, I would say, you know, same here, John. I've been in around it, you know, WTT. I've known all the constituents. I grew up with Mark Ein and, you know, knew what he was doing with the Castles. And you know, even when I took the job to be the CEO, I mean, I said the same things to myself, but I know that I've turned a lot of things around. I knew I had great new owners in Fred and Eric that wanted to capitalize. You need capital to build something. And the first thing that Fred told me was, you know, we've got to create a great product. And so we started that in 2019, but you also don't do that in 1 year. I think we got great players in 2019. I think we had great distribution in 2019. And in spite of what's happening with COVID in 2020, I think we've raised the bar again. And now we've added the Tennis Channel to our list of, you know, distribution. All 66 matches are live. And the CBS guys stepped in and said, you want to put the finals on big CBS? And look, I mean, for any tennis match to be on broadcast television right now is a big deal. So we feel very lucky that we have this great regular season lineup, but now we have the finals on CBS. And so I'm not interested in just being a sideshow. It's not what I've ever done. I'm interested in growing it and making sure that the players and the fans know that it's top competitive tennis and it's just not a hit and giggle. You know, we added $1 million in prize money to the postseason this year. And I got to tell you, when those four teams make the semifinals, there's going to be five teams that are going to be upset that they're not going to have a chance at the prize money. And I think that changes the profile of what we've done yet again. And so I think we continue to grow it and make sure that we are part of the fabric of tennis and the calendar.
I don't know if you remember when you and I met, I don't know, 10, a long time, you know, 10, 15 years ago now. when it was, I think it was through Sports Illustrated, but you were working for the World Series of Fighting, I believe.
Yeah, we had lunch with Mark. We had lunch with Mark Ford, and I was the CEO of World Series of Fighting.
Yeah, yeah, all right, you remember
and,
that.
You know, we had, you know, I had been at AOL and SI at the time too, and so I knew Mark, and you know, you and I kind of just knew each other from the world, but we had never really sat down, and we had a great lunch in New York. What was that? That must have been probably about 8 years ago, I'd say. Yeah.
We missed Mark Ford. But I don't remember. I remember you and I talked a lot about fighting. I think, you know, we had it was a business lunch, but I think we talked a bit about mixed martial arts. I didn't realize the extent to which you're a tennis guy. I mean, how did you end up in this racket? But I also think, you know, sometimes executives come into tennis and they don't know. They never heard what Indian Wells is, and it sort of pull your eyes and say, "Oh boy, this is going to be a rocky ride." I want to make clear, like you're a tennis guy.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that's all I wanted. I mean, I, you know, like a lot of kids, I played all sports growing up, and you know, I quit everything in sort of seventh, eighth grade, and you know, didn't play any more football or baseball or any of those things. All I wanted to do was hit a tennis ball, and I got, you know, I kind of came up through the juniors and played in some national tournaments and ended up going to Boston College and played tennis for 4 years at BC back when they were in the Big East, which, you know, pains me now that they're not in the Big East because it just seems strange. And we won a bunch of Big East championships, and I won some singles and doubles Big East championships titles, which was great. And then I went to Canada for a summer after BC with a buddy of mine that played at BU. And we drove up there and we played what was then the Molson Tour, which was, you know, kind of the Challenger Series as it is now. And I remember it was 8 stops from sort of Toronto to Quebec City every week for 8 weeks. And, you know, I earned a pro paycheck. So I'm happy to say that, you know, I made the main draw there in one of the tournaments and earned a pro paycheck. And so it was fun, and it was either I go to Spain for the next mini tour or I go do a master's degree at GW, and I decided that I'd go do a master's degree at GW. And but yeah, tennis taught me everything. It, you know, taught me how to be responsible and be on time and work hard, and so yeah, it's embedded in everything I've done. You know, we did a lot of stuff with US Open too in the early AOL days. You know, we were a sponsor of the US Open. We streamed the practice courts before anyone was thinking of doing that stuff, John, you know, along with you guys at SI and with Jeff Price, who, you know, I did a lot of stuff with back then. And so, yeah, we're really proud of some of the early stuff we did before, you know, I mean, no one was thinking about streaming the practice courts in 2003. And, you know, now it seems like, you know, what's the big deal, but, so yeah, so tennis, very important to me. I feel very, very lucky that this opportunity came my way, and I'm going to try and continue to reinvigorate it and build it into a world-class property.
I'll take a detour with you for a second since you went there. Jeff Price, wonderful guy. I remember he was telling me the same thing about the practice courts at the US Open. Do you think people would watch? And I said, yeah, why not? That's kind of a cool idea. And I think the USTA was basically like, yeah, I don't know, sure, go for it. I mean, this was not something that was a heavy negotiation. And basically, the technology, I think, didn't keep up with the idea. And we had some sort of stream. This is 2001. This is when I first started.
Oh, yeah, it's a long time ago.
We were way ahead of the game on this. We just didn't have the technology. But
that's right. And it was only – and at the time, it was only available to AOL members. So you had to be an AOL member to get it. I mean, we did the same with March Madness. We did the same with the Masters. You know, we streamed the par threes at the Masters before anyone was doing that stuff. And so, it was great. The US Open and everyone at the USTA, you're right. They were all, we thought it was going to be some knockout dragout. They were like, give it a try. They didn't really know what would happen.
Oh, man. We could have locked that in perpetuity. We would have had something. You guys want to go the qualies? Yeah, I don't know. Go nuts. You think people will watch? what did you learn? You mentioned tennis and the virtues, and I think that's something that a lot of people talk about that play the sport at a high level, that all this talk about tennis's metaphor for life, really, there's some substance to that. What did you learn in particular when you were playing the Challenger satellites, when you were sort of scavenging for ranking points? What did you learn about yourself in that?
Well, you know, you do learn that it it's a little lonely and it's tough. You know, when you lose, you know, when you lose in the qualifiers of a challenger and, you know, you have 7 days, you know, you got to really be disciplined to get ready to, for, you know, you really have nothing to do for 7 days. You're going to jump in your car, you're going to drive a couple hours to the next stop, but you know that you've got to sort of put your schedule together if you're going to stay on point to get ready to try and get wins next time. And I think, it's a little bit, it's a little bit like what we're all doing now. I mean, there's really no free lunch there. And, people think because, they see maybe the, top athletes in the world that it's easy, but it's not. You know, you got to kind of grind it out every single day. And, I remember it then. And I remember it now because I tell my team too, that, until you get to the, until you win the last point, you don't win. And so you gotta, whether you're closing a deal, whether you're trying to get ready for a season, whether you're putting together guidelines and procedures, like you gotta finish it and get it done because it doesn't count if you don't win the last point.
I always say that, I always joke that MMA and tennis are my guilty pleasures, but there's actually a fair amount in common. Are there things that you're taking from your experience with mixed martial arts that are applying to tennis?
Absolutely. And by the way, the opposite. Most people don't know that when we sold World Series of Fighting and turned it into the Professional Fighters League, we came up with a league and a tournament concept. Mm-hmm. And it was really based on tennis. And I sat down and one of the concepts in the Professional Fighters League is there's a lucky loser. Because, in fighting, John, as people get hurt. And then when you have a bracket, there's a lucky loser. And everyone looked at me, they're like, what's a lucky loser? And I'm like, well, I was a lucky loser a bunch of times. I went into, I lost and I went into the loser's bracket. And then I tried to win the loser's tournament, which would make you like the eighth best person. And so, that a lot of that factoring went in there. But, the other side, from the other side of it is, World Team Tennis does have a bit of pageantry as part of it. There's music, there's entertainment. There's this sort of feeling. So I've tried to amplify that from the fighting world to bring that into World Team Tennis even more. And, even in the way that we do player introductions and the way that you want to make the stadium feel big, like it is a prize fight, I think that's just something that no other sport does like fighting. And each of the other sports could get a little bit of it. We've tried to draft off of that a bit.
You don't have to mop up plasma too often from the playing surface in tennis.
True.
I mean, that's a good point, though. How do you balance, though, especially with World Team Tennis, how do you balance the pageantry and the fun and the music and the high fives? How do you balance that with serious competition? I mean, it seems like, too sober and you lose the fun, and too much fun and it ceases to feel like something meaningful. How do you balance that?
It's a great question, and it's not easy because I don't want to turn it into a hit and giggle XO. I do think money does matter. When prize money is there, it creates a meaning that people are playing for something, and it's important. So I think that's one piece of it. I also think as more and more of the top players join World Team Tennis, and we've seen that, they had so many great players back in the day, and Connors and Everett and Billie Jean and Laver. And now if you look at the lineup this year, none of these top players want to lose to these guys ever because they know they might play them in the second round of the US Open. You don't want it in your brain that you lost to this doubles team or you lost to this guy on the court, just 3 or 4 weeks earlier. So I think that's a big piece of it too. But I would also say that I think we talk about the NBA all the time. The NBA does it. I mean, the NBA, the entertainment value of the NBA is so high, but yet the competitive nature, especially as you get into the playoffs and through to the finals, it's insane. It's crazy. So I do think you can create the balance. And I think part of it is how you treat the players and sort of the professionalism of the entire league, that they know this is a serious stop on their calendar.
I've got two management consultant questions for you.
Okay.
I'm curious about your licensing department and where I can get a Boston Lobsters and a San Francisco Breakers apparel. I think you have a great retro apparel business waiting to be launched. And
well, Well, you'll be happy to know, John, that it is launched. If you go to WTT.com right now, you can get a Boston Lobsters t-shirt. So I'll send you the links, because I don't have it with me, but I have a New York Bees t-shirt.
Exactly.
That was one of the names of the early New York teams that I got, which is great.
I'm going to say, I'm going to ask this next question while opening up a window and doing the shopping. I mean, the other question is, when do we get this is your 45th season. When do we get the World Team Tennis documentary with Jan Tyriak eating wine glasses and the great John Lucas playing doubles alongside Rene Richards? When do we get, I don't know what your video archive is, but I want in on that World Team Tennis documentary.
Well, you know, it's funny. When we did the All-Star match in March, we also put out on social the last All-Star match, which I think was 76. It might have been 77. I can't remember. But the poster was insane. I mean, it was Laver. It was Billie Jean. Everett was in it. Connors was in it. I mean, it was like you couldn't believe it. It was like a who's who of tennis greats in that All-Star match back then. I think we tried to replicate it, you know, this year. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of there's a lot of that in between. And in fact, Dick Enberg did the call on that All-Star match, which is, you know, also another epic piece. So we should sit down and do that together.
I was gonna say, next time we have a business lunch in New York, this will be on the agenda.
For sure.
This is great. And just to be clear, you want to give us the dates and where people can watch, and I'll sort of let you see the press release, but to tell us about the 2020 season kicks off, when, where, and how do I watch it?
So all nine teams will be in Greenbrier, West Virginia. The season starts on July 12th, which would have been the Sunday of Wimbledon, the Sunday finals of Wimbledon. We're going to have matches, because we're in one city, we're going to have matches all day, every day. So there'll be a 10 a.m. match, a 2 p.m. match, and a 7 p.m. match, give or take. They may slide by an hour every single day. And we'll be on CBS broadcast with the finals and the regular season, CBS Sports Network for a big chunk, ESPN for a big chunk, and Tennis Channel for a big chunk. And we're throwing in a couple matches on Facebook Live. That's all in the U.S. And so every single match will be broadcast at, you know, super high quality production values, all done by the WTT team. And if you're a real junkie, you can watch all 66 matches, because there's no collisions, because they're all on. There's only one match on at any one moment in time, because we're all together. So it should be fun.
And not a lot of counter programming from other sports either. So I think tennis will obviously be watching closely, but I suspect there will be a lot of curious sports executives watching you as well. So good luck with it all.
Yeah, thank you, John. We'll keep you up to date too, and we look forward to doing it the right way and doing it as safely as we can.
Stay out of the West Virginia discos. Great. I really appreciate this.
Note to self. Thank you.
Exactly. Good luck with it. Thanks for the time, and stay in touch. This is great.
Okay. Thanks, John. See you soon.
Thanks, Carlos. Take care.
Okay. Thanks to Carlos for the time and the candor. Always a pleasure talking with him. Thanks, as always, to our super fantastic colleague, Jamie Lasanti, who is producing this remotely and is appreciated by the entire staff, probably more than she knows. That will do it for this week. We'll have another guest next week. Keep the suggestions coming. Subscribe, leave a review. It all helps. The guest suggestions have been wonderful. Some of them more practical than others. They've been a source of great enjoyment. So keep those coming. And again, stay healthy, everyone. Stay well. Wear a mask. Stay home if possible. We will talk again in 7 days. We'll be right back.